In the name of the triune God who creates, redeems, sustains, and in whom we find freedom to love. Amen. What do you seek? What is it that you seek? This is the question asked of people standing at the threshold of the Christian life in a service that welcomes seekers into a time of intense study and reflection called the catechumenate. Standing on the boundary of life and death, these catechumens, the name we use for those entering this process, in preparation for baptism, cross the threshold to explore and experience the Christian life in earnest. What do you seek? The celebrant asks them, and they reply, life in Christ. And this is just what the man who was possessed by demons sought as he threw himself at Jesus' feet by the Sea of Galilee in this morning's gospel. Life in Christ. This man, shackled to oppressing powers that kept him even from himself, sought life. Life in Christ. He sought freedom from the demons that possessed him, that kept him at the margins of life and death. Just as the seekers on their way to baptism, he sought the freedom found in a life in Christ. I don't know what that is. Paul's letter to the Galatians describes this life. Life in Christ is freedom from the powers of death, freedom from powers that enslave us, freedom to live fully as God's creation, freedom to love one another. Paul says it this way: now, before faith came, we were imprisoned. But baptized into Christ, you have been clothed with Christ, where there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female. In other words, clothed in Christ, all are free. We are not divided, but rather one and free together. Today's gospel from Luke is strange, to say the least. Jesus has left his familiar territory in Galilee and crossed the sea to Gerasene, a land of the Gentiles, and is immediately confronted by a wild man, a man neither dead or alive, possessed by demons. And the demons beg Jesus not to be sent into the abyss, which is the underworld, the place demons were believed to dwell. So he sent the demons into a herd of pigs who ran off a cliff into the sea and drowned. I wonder how Jesus felt being assaulted by this man. He had just calmed a storm after a rocky ride across the sea, but Jesus had been healing people from the start of his ministry. He walked on the margins. Indeed, it was his healing that drew crowds of people. They sought freedom from all sorts of ailments, people who sought life itself. Immediately after calling Simon, Peter, and James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, Jesus cleansed a leper and healed a paralytic. After Jesus gave his sermon on the plain, he healed a centurion's servant and raised a widow's son from the dead. And once again, after teaching with parables, Jesus healed a man possessed by demons. So healing people, liberating them from disease and power that limits life, were signs of the kingdom of God drawn near. Jesus brought life to those he met. And particularly in the gospel according to Luke, Jesus is the one who seeks out and saves the lost, the least, and the marginalized. And by saving, I don't mean salvation at some future time in some future life, but salvation now, as in healing people, making them whole today. The salvation that Jesus brought was to free people from all sorts of bondage. Physical bondage, bringing sight to the blind, spiritual bondage, instructing the rich man about what it meant to love one's neighbor. Social bondage, inviting Zacchaeus, the outcast tax collector, to dine with him. And political bondage, free freeing people from political oppression. The Gerasene demoniac was possessed, held in bondage, enslaved, you might say, by so many demons that when Jesus asked, "What is your name?" he replied, "Legion." And it wouldn't have been lost on the ears of the first century listeners that Legion was the name referred to the entire Roman army, literally thousands of soldiers who kept the peace of the oppressive Roman regime through violence. This man was enslaved, oppressed by Legion. And what were these demons? Perhaps they were laws that kept him away from opportunity, or social customs that kept him away from community, from belonging, from a home. Shunned by society, he was kept half dead, living among the tombs, in the space in between country and town, in between desert and farmland, in between land and sea, in between life and death. Neither dead or alive, he lived in the margins, roaming the netherworld of non-belonging. He was naked, with no name of his own, but rather the name of Legion. And when he saw Jesus, he fell down before him, and the demons cried, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Jesus didn't have to ask him, "What do you seek?" It was clear. This man sought life. He sought freedom offered in Jesus, life in Christ, freedom. Isn't that what we too seek? This past Wednesday, as a nation, we celebrated Juneteenth. Now, I have to admit that Juneteenth is a new holiday for me. I learned about it only a few years ago, but it is not a new holiday at all. The first Juneteenth was celebrated on June 19, 1865, when General Jordan Granger read this statement to the people of Galveston, Texas. "The people of Texas are informed that, in accordance with a proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves." This was fully 2.5 years after the passage of the Emancipation Proclamation that had liberated all enslaved Americans in the United States. 2.5 years later, with this statement, an additional 250,000 enslaved people were freed. 1865, only 154 years ago. That's not that long ago. And a friend of mine recently had the blessing of sitting at the feet of the oldest person she knew who had an accent just like hers and her mothers and grandmothers. She's from Georgia. She listened to this woman recount 96 years of a joy-filled life, which includes sitting at the feet of her own grandmother in Alabama, listening to stories about being taken from Africa at age 7 and made a slave, her memories of the boat that carried her here, how her elderly years she still remembered where she was born and could speak the language that no one could understand. My friend remarked how we are only 2 lifetimes away from slavery when it was legal in the United States, not that long ago. And we continue to live with the inheritance of slavery in the United States. Wealth among African American families is 1/10 of that of white families. Black women die at higher rates in childbirth as white women with the same educational and professional backgrounds. Black men are incarcerated at higher rates than white men. Like the Gerasene demoniac, many descendants of enslaved Americans live in the margins, kept from living fully as God intended, in a way possessed by the legacy of enslavement of Black Americans. And when one member of our country is kept from living fully, we all suffer. We are all incomplete. We are all in bondage by powers and demons that keep us from the fullness that God intends us. Speaking at a Juneteenth celebration at a Carnegie Hall in New York City, our own presiding bishop said, "Juneteenth isn't just history of the past. It is a strategic hope for the future. Juneteenth is a strategic hope because we are people who seek life in Christ, a people who seek the freedom to love. Juneteenth is a strategic hope because we are called to name the legion of demons that enslave us and our brothers and sisters, and in that naming, continue the journey that will free us all. Notice in the story of the possessed man that when the people came out to see the one who had been possessed, now liberated from his demons, clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus, they were afraid, afraid of the power of freedom. So afraid that they asked Jesus to leave. On the very first Juneteenth celebration in the United States, when General Granger announced the freedom of enslaved in Texas, some were jubilant, some were shocked, and others were afraid. Freedom means a new and uncertain future. Freedom means taking risks and the hard work of true and honest relationship with one another. Freedom is dynamic and powerful. So who wouldn't be afraid? Yet freedom is necessary for a flourishing life. Freedom is a gospel imperative. Jesus calls us all through the font here before us to that freedom. And in the end, the demoniac is told by Jesus to go home. The home he did not have when the story began. The man once naked and mad, now clothed and sane, who has been made whole. He has a place. And even more life in Christ, where Paul tells the Galatians, there is no longer slave or free, for all are one in Christ Jesus. So as a people gathered in this space, at this font, and at this table, as people who know ourselves as living in Christ, what do you seek? Do you seek life in Christ? Do you seek freedom for yourself and all people? Amen.